Do you want to lose weight but struggle to stay committed to a meal plan because you constantly feel hungry? Does food provide you comfort when you are bored, angry, lonely, or sad? If so, you are in the right place. My name is Kristen Jones, and I'm a life coach specializing in emotional eating and weight loss, and I'm also a lifelong emotional eater. I want to provide you with information, motivation, and support so you too can learn to manage your issues with food and develop a healthy relationship with yourself. Welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. My name is Kristen Jones, and thank you so much for joining me this week. So about four days ago, I posted a poll. I guess you'd call it a poll. I posted a question in the group in the Breakthrough Emotional Eating community, www.facebook.com/groups/food breakthrough. If you're not a member, come be one. You want to be here with us. If you are in the group, you might have seen the post, and I asked the question for people to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, the quality of the food that they eat. So 1 to 5, 1 being horrible, 5 being amazing. And I would say a majority of the people fell between, I would say between 3 and 5, which I think is great. I mean, I think most people were saying 3 and 5, and I think that's amazing. That's awesome. If that is the level of what you rate yourself and you rate your own food consumption, that's amazing. It's absolutely fabulous. What I found interesting and what it really made me think about was, and it's the reason why I decided to do this as the topic for the podcast, is it made me think, if people are gauging and rating themselves as being eating, and the quality of the food that they're eating is between a 3 and a 5 on a scale of 1 to 5. Why then are people struggling with their weight? Why are they struggling with emotionally eating? And why are they struggling? If they're eating quality food, why is that not the answer? And so I thought it was really appropriate. And I wanted to talk about that because it's important. I felt like there's a big piece that's missing. And I know it's a piece that we talk about in the membership group. We talk about it extensively. And I've talked about it a lot here in the group, but I know there are a lot of people who are new. And so I really felt like this was something we needed to revisit, because I will tell you that if you're in the Breakthrough Emotional Eating community, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to lose weight and you want to manage your emotional eating, first off, losing weight does not manage your emotional eating. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. Losing weight does not manage your emotional eating. That doesn't change the status of your emotional eating. You could lose every bit of weight that you need to lose, and you could still be an emotional eater. In fact, that was me. I didn't outwardly need to lose any weight, but was I an emotional eater? 150%. Absolutely, I was. Am I still? Absolutely. Will I always be? Absolutely. Will it be something I have to manage the rest of my life? 100%. But those two things, because, and this is where I think it's really important for the discussion to kind of move towards, is there's a component that most of the diet industry is missing when it comes to losing weight and keeping it off. Most people, and honestly, when you lose weight and you have a challenging time keeping it off, it most likely you are an emotional eater. And so those things kind of all go together. But the issue is more of, there's a piece that's missing that most people are not talking about, because all we want to focus on is, what are you eating and how much are you exercising? How many calories are you burning, and how many calories are you taking in? The calories in, calories out, and all that stuff. And there's a whole component that nobody, that very few people are talking about. And honestly, it's almost entirely what we talk about in my group and in my coaching. That is all I talk about. And my clients who work with me know that we have a saying, and the saying is, it's not about the food, because it's not. Whether it's emotional eating, whether it's the desire to lose weight and keep it off, it is not about the food. So if you are still thinking that you need to look at your carbs and you like, and that does not mean if you don't have, if you have a medical situation, if you are pre-diabetic or you're diabetic, absolutely you need to watch your carbs. You need to have that balance. I completely agree with that. But if you are somebody who is just looking to lose weight, and again, losing weight and managing emotional eating, those two things are not going to, just because you do one doesn't mean the other one's going to fall into place. But losing weight permanently and managing emotional eating both involve one thing. They both involve one thing that most people don't talk about. And it's what we do definitely talk about in this group. And it's what I want to make sure everybody understands. The element or the missing piece when it comes to managing emotional eating and losing weight and keeping it off is what happens between your ears. Your brain and your thoughts are the center and the most important element, the most important piece of managing emotional eating, losing weight, and keeping it off. You have to have the thought and the brain work done and understand how that works before you're ever going to be able to get anywhere with losing weight and then keeping it off and managing the emotional side of eating at the same time. So that's the main thing that I really focus on in my coaching and in my membership and in my one-on-one coaching with people, is I frankly don't care what people eat. I really don't. Because that's not really what the issue is. That is not the issue. The issue is what happens before you put anything into your mouth. Because we don't put anything into our mouths. We don't take that action of overeating. We don't take that action of eating when we're not hungry. We don't take that action of eating so much that we, you know, have to get the sweatpants on and we need to go and take a nap. None of that happens without the feelings that come before it and with the thoughts that become before the feelings. So I want to talk about that. And I want to kind of revisit that and make sure everybody really understands what it is that really needs to be focused on. Because if you are just focusing on diet and exercise, like, you're going to repeat the same patterns you've probably repeated for the last 20, 30, 40, or 50 years. And I don't want that for you. So I felt like it was time to revisit and kind of go back to the basics of what it is that you need to be, what you need to be focusing on and what you need to really understand about how your brain works and the impact that your brain has on your eating. So you have a piece of paper and a pencil, you might want to have it out because you might want to take some notes on this, because this is good stuff and you're not going to hear it very many places. There's just a handful of us that are doing this kind of thing. So buckle up, get your paper and pens ready. So when we talk about the brain, the most important thing we need to realize, and this is a very, very challenging concept for a lot of people, your brain is not always working in your best interest for what you want personally, what you want. So let me explain that. It's almost like your brain is like a third person. It's like an entity in and of itself. And your brain has, there's three major parts to your brain. We're going to talk about two of them. And the two parts of your brain that we're going to talk about is your primal brain. It has lots of names. There's some people call it the reptilian brain. Some people call it the lower brain. We'll call it the primal brain here. This is what we call it in the group. So the primal brain is that brain that you were born with, that you had when you were born 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and then you started to mature and you started then to develop what's called your prefrontal cortex. And that came with age. So if we think about it, when we're little, and those of you who have kids, you know, like kids have no sense of time. Like you say, we're going to go to Disneyland and they're like, let's go now. Like, let's go right now. And then you say, oh, it's not for a week. And they think, I have no idea. Then 5 minutes later, they'll be like, is it been a week? Can we go now? They don't have a sense of, they don't have a sense of time. They don't have, it's a very, very basic level brain. And that brain stays with you all your life. So we all have that brain, and that brain is responsible for fight or flight. It's responsible for your, literally your survival. It's responsible for you being happy, for you being safe, for you, recognizing, you know, if you're in the right environment, you know, again, are you safe? Are you not safe? Do you need to escape from something? It's very, very much about your happiness and your survival, which is a great thing. And we like that because we want to survive. We think that's important. It's probably pretty relevant that we get that. So that brain definitely needs to be around. As you mature and you get older, probably around, I'm going to say, I used to be a middle school teacher, so I know some kids' prefrontal cortex was really, really well developed by the time they got to middle school, and they were able to plan things in advance, like papers in advance, and I better study for things, and I better do this now because I'm going to be busy later. That happens over the course of those years, that, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, that age range. And it's that forward planning. It's looking long-term. It's not worrying about what's happening right now, but what we want in the future. That's the part of your brain that wants you to lose weight. That's the part of your brain that wants you to have a good relationship with food. And that part of your brain is no better than the primal brain. They just have two different jobs, but they're both equally important. So as adults now, when we are cruising along, living our lives, our primal brain is all about making you happy. So that brain works about 95% of the time. It's making decisions for you. It's like, oh, I'm cold. Okay, let's get a blanket. Let's make sure we're warm. It's like instant gratification. It wants all the things right away. What that also means is that when you are unhappy, when something happens and you're not happy and you become sad, your brain automatically thinks, oh, this is not good. We don't want her unhappy. We don't want her sad. We want her surviving. So we need to make her happy right now, not 20 minutes from now, not 2 days from now, right now. What's going to make her happy right now? And there's all sorts of choices that your brain can choose from. But the most readily available and easiest is food. And if you grew up in a family where food was used as a reward or as a pacifier or a way to keep a child occupied or quiet, that's going to become a natural thing. And your brain is going to get used to that. It's going to remember, oh, wait, she was happy the last time when she was upset. I remember she was crying and we need to make her happy. So those M&Ms, they did the trick. Okay, let's do those again. Let's make sure she finds some of those. And so that's what your brain does. And it does it because it loves you and it does it for your survival. But for your long-term goal of wanting to lose weight or not wanting to gain weight, it's not working for your advantage. It's absolutely not. And so it's important. What we have to understand is we have to understand how that primal brain works, be very, very aware of it, and then be aware of how do we override those messages. So I'm going to ask anybody who is here live, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever felt you could perceive it as the uncontrollable desire to eat a cookie, to have some ice cream, to eat a bag of chips, like almost like it wasn't even you. It was just like you had blinders on and before you knew it, you were halfway through a carton of ice cream. If you've had that happen, just type in the word blinders in the comments, as if having blinders on and all you can focus on is food. I'm sure to anyone who's listening, if you're listening on the podcast, you've probably had that situation where you don't even realize, like, it feels so out of control. That is your primal brain at its finest, working to make you happy in those moments. And it knows that getting you something to eat is going to make you happy. That doesn't, though. It only does it for a short period of time, because then if it's something where you didn't want, you're on an eating plan, you trying to lose weight, very soon after, the prefrontal cortex comes in and says, well, wait a minute, that's just messed up all the planning that we've been trying to do to lose weight. And now it's all gone out the window, and now it's all done. And now there's guilt, now there's shame, now there's disappointment, now there's humiliation. And that's when obviously then we don't move forward. And then we feel that disgust and that upset with ourselves. So again, the brain, we don't do anything without our brain being involved. So why would we ever think that we should look at and try to lose weight without examining our brain and how our brain works and what our brain's impact is going to be on our food choices? And so I bring this up, and I want to make you aware of this, because it's really important that you understand how the brain works. Because if you're just trying to, you know, control what you eat and control how much you exercise and you want to lose weight, first thing is your brain doesn't want you changing. It does not want you losing weight. And I will tell everybody that is absolutely, your brain does not like change at all. It will fight you. But what it also will do is when you get the least bit uncomfortable on that diet, and you know, it's the fourth time you've had to eat, you know, broccoli and dry chicken breast, and you're like, oh my God, this is horrible. This is awful. I so don't want to have this. Your brain is like, oh no, she's not happy. She's not happy. No one's happy. Let's make her happy. Let's remind her that there's some ice cream in the fridge and she could have that for dinner. That's what your brain is going to do. And so if you aren't aware of that, and you're not aware of how you combat that and how you can override that, if you don't have any idea about that, you are going to be repeating the same pattern over and over again. You're going to try it and push up against your brain and fight against what it is doing naturally and what it's supposed to do. Your brain is working totally fine. We had a meeting yesterday and we talked about how if you feel like your brain is trying to sabotage you by getting you to eat something that you don't, that's not in your best interest, your brain is working totally normally. Absolutely 100%. It is absolutely working normally. So that's good to know, but it's also better to know, how do I override that? How do I override it so my brain allows me to do what I need to do in order to get to my goal of managing my emotional eating and losing weight and keeping it off? How do I do that? What do I do? So I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can look at and that you can actually put into place that would help and would kind of help lead you towards being able to manage those impulsive, instant gratification, I want it now feelings that your brain gets and that your brain wants to follow through on, that it wants what it wants when it wants it. And you are going to have to be the higher level thinker that says, nope, we're not going to do that. So if in the event you get into one of those situations where you feel like you have, you know, have no control, there's chips in the house, there's cookies in the house, you're on a plan, you come home, you're really hungry, you think, oh, you know, I really would love to have, I'm so tired. It's been such a hard day. The moment you have that thought, you need to remember that thought is not necessarily a thought that you want to entertain. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. Thoughts are always optional. Okay. So I'll say that one more time. Thoughts are optional. Just because a thought comes into your head, it doesn't mean you have to act on it. So just because a thought comes into your head and says, man, those brownies would be great right now, You don't have to act on it, because that thought came from your primal brain that wanted you to, that wants you to eat the brownies because it's going to make you happy. You have to remember, wait a minute, what's my long-term plan? My long-term plan is I want to lose weight. So the brownies in this moment are not going to make me feel any better. They might for a brief moment, but then I'm going to realize that it's not the right thing to do. And then I'm going to feel the guilt, and then I'm going to want to eat again. And my brain is going to keep telling me that. You have to know that you get the option to, at any point in time, tell your brain, no, no, we don't do that anymore. No, I don't eat brownies before dinner. No, I don't listen to irrational thoughts or irrational things that don't serve my life for the long run. You have to have that conversation. I know it sounds crazy and you're thinking, really, we're gonna have a conversation with our own brain. Yes, absolutely, 100%. You need to. That has to happen. So if you're thinking I'm nuts, that's okay. I don't mind. But I will tell you, it is the answer. It is what absolutely has to happen. It has to happen. You have to be having those conversations, because otherwise you will give in every single time and you will never get anywhere. Or you'll hold on as tight as you can, and then eventually you'll have to let go. And then you'll binge, and then you'll be right back where you started, usually with a few more pounds on as well. So making sure that you know that if a thought comes into your head, you can say no to it. You can push back and say, nope, that thought doesn't need to be here. It doesn't serve my life. That's the first thing you can do. Second thing you can do is you can start following through on when you say you're going to do something. So when you say, I'm going to make plans with a friend, you make plans with a friend, and oh, by the way, you follow through and you show up. Okay. That is teaching your brain. That's teaching the long-term planning part of your brain, that prefrontal cortex. It's teaching it that when you say you're going to do something, you actually follow through and do it. That allows that portion of your brain to become more powerful. If you remember, I said the primal brain works 95% of the time. That means the primal brain works like 5% of the time. That's not a good ratio. We don't need the primal brain running things. It's always going to be there. We don't want to get rid of it. We certainly don't want it in charge. So you need to get a little more balance between those two parts of your brain. And that's a really valuable way of doing it. Whatever you say you're going to do, you follow through and you do it. That is the key. And also, that's just the key, because you want to have integrity. You want to have integrity with yourself as well as with other people. You say you're going to do something, you follow through and you do it. Our brain thrives on that, thrives on consistency, and it thrives on reliability. So to recap, if diet and exercise are the only two things you're looking at when it comes to managing emotional eating and or losing weight and wanting to keep it off forever, if those are the only two things you're looking at, you are missing an incredibly vital piece. And that is the piece of your brain, your brain's involvement, your thoughts, and how your thoughts create your feelings create your actions. So if you are, you know, doing things in, if you're eating in a way that isn't necessarily serving you, that's just not the actions that we have to look at. We have to look at your feelings and your thoughts that come before it, because those are actually what are impacting and allowing you and creating that situation where you eat more than you need to. Because remember, our bodies are amazing. Our bodies know exactly how much food they need, how much food they don't need. And we get into our own way. We don't let our bodies actually function the way they're supposed to. We don't let them make the decision about how much food we need to eat and then when we need to stop. And everybody needs to get back to listening to their bodies and allowing their bodies to make that call, because your body is incredibly wise. We just have to let it do its thing. We have to get out of our own way and allow our bodies to take over and do the right things for our body, for us moving forward, so we can reach the goals that we want. And if that goal happens to be, you know, lessening emotional eating and losing weight, then that's what we have to do. We have to really start to listen to our bodies, pay attention, listen to our thoughts, and then change thoughts and work on the thoughts that we have and the things that our brain is telling us to do. We get to override any of those thoughts. So I hope that this little introduction to the brain and how the brain works, the primal brain and the prefrontal cortex, I hope this was helpful. I think it's really, really important. There's, again, it's just not that many people talking about this side of weight loss. And this is the really important part. This is the part you have to get dialed in, because otherwise you're going to be doing that constant back and forth, restrict, binge, deny, binge. And that just takes you on a slide that is not a slide anybody wants to be on, because it just keeps repeating over and over and over. And for any of you who have done that, who've been on that diet roller coaster, who've been on that diet slide, and you just keep doing it, and you just keep thinking, okay, maybe this time is the time it's going to get better. Maybe this time is the time it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until you start looking a little bit deeper and you start looking more at your thoughts, your beliefs, and your brain and how it works and how it impacts it. And that's what we study here in the group. That's what we study not only in the Breakthrough Emotional Eating community, but also in the Breakthrough membership in much greater detail and in much more in depth. And so it's, you know, the information's available to you. It's just making sure that we don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. Just doing diet and exercise has not worked in the past. It's probably not going to work moving forward. So it's time to look at and really dive into other things to look at. And again, what's happening between your ears is the most important thing that you can look at when it comes to changing your body and working on not only, again, emotional eating and weight loss. All right. I hope that was helpful. And I hope that kind of gave you a little bit of an insight as to the things that we talk about here in the group, and as well as in the membership group. And if you have any questions at all, please drop them in the comments and in the podcast, as well as in the group. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all next week. All right. Take care. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information on emotional eating and losing weight, please go to www.facebook.com/groups/food-breakthrough and join the Breakthrough Emotional Eating community. I hope to see you soon.